The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Okay, it's time now to go to the United States to Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown. We've lots to get through. And let's start with this extraordinary diplomatic row between the United States and Great Britain in relation to the British ambassador's comments about Donald Trump and his White House in his briefings to Westminster and to the British government, which were leaked over the weekend to an English newspaper, and which has led to the most extraordinary reaction from Donald Trump, which, Cal Thomas, almost proves the points of what the British ambassador had actually been saying.
Well, the big story, as I read it in the UK press right now, is who's responsible for the leaks, Matt. This is the kind of narrative that's been going on almost since the inauguration, that Trump is out of control, that there's chaos in the White House, and there's certainly evidence to do that. I would say, to believe that, but I would say that if Boris Johnson especially becomes the new prime minister of the UK, Ambassador Kim's presence will not be for very long. I think this just feeds into the narrative of the anti-Trump people, and I don't think it's going to have any major effect, certainly on U.S. politics, but and with Theresa May leaving office, I think there'll be a clean slate after that, at least as far as the ambassadorship from the UK is concerned.
I'd look at it a little bit differently, Cal, because this Sir Kim Darroch, yes, there is issues as to how confidential information that he passed back to his government got into the public domain. But that's not the real story. The real story has been the reaction of Donald Trump afterwards. Instead of maintaining a diplomatic silence, he starts slagging off the ambassador and says he won't deal with him, which is the equivalent almost of sending the ambassador away as if he was some sort of spy or something, which would be the normal protocol. But you also have a whole series of insults that Donald Trump put out about Theresa May and about how they dealt with Brexit. Now, surely, do you agree that that is the way your president should be behaving himself?
No, and no president should be behaving himself at all. I completely agree with you. But this is part of a pattern of a narcissistic president who takes any criticism at all, even light criticism, as a personal affront and launches attacks. I have a column about that in another context in my newspapers today. I think name-calling indicates that you've lost an argument, and I think it's unseemly for any major political leader, especially the president of the United States. I've condemned it before, and I do now.
Marion McKeown, I mean, what is this going to do to relationships between the United States and Britain? Because effectively, Trump is exiling the ambassador, and surely it's up to the British government to decide who they want their ambassador to be.
Absolutely, and I think they've made that point. This is a real storm in a teacup. It's wildly out of proportion, and Donald Trump should have said absolutely nothing, but of course that was never going to happen. It's an ambassador's job to send back their opinions to their foreign department about what's happening in any country in the world on any given day. Kim Darroch was doing his job, and he did it in the same way as ambassadors have done it forever. You know, I remember going through the Irish archives, and the Ronald Reagan ambassador said very, very unflattering things about Charlie Hawley and a bunch of Irish people. I believe they thought Charlie Bird was a communist at one stage. They send back things that are often incorrect, that are often, you know, clearly their own personal opinions. But in this case, all that Kim Darroch said was that the White House was inept, that it was incompetent, that there was a knife fight going on. Everybody knows these things already. What part of this is news? And, you know, this thing is going to resolve itself, I think. Darroch is due to resign, I think, in about 3 or 4 months' time. If I were the British government, I would let him stay until then, because what message do you send to your diplomatic team otherwise? If he had done something that was entirely incorrect and inappropriate for an ambassador, then, of course, he could be removed. But all he did was his job, and these confidential posts back to the foreign secretary were leaked. So if I were the British government, I would just, you know, make nice with America, but in the meantime, just let him finish out his term and not be bullied by Trump into removing him. Although Trump has made it effectively impossible for him to do his work in Washington now by, as you say, by calling him a pompous fool, I mean, for heaven's sake, and a stupid guy. You know, there's no point in saying it's unpresidential. Everything Donald Trump does is unpresidential, but it really is beyond the pale at this stage.
Let's move, Cal, to Jeffrey Epstein, who, of course, was a mate of Bill Clinton's, and I'm going to say that that before you get an opportunity to say it, but also a good mate of President Donald Trump. Lots of photographs of them together, and indeed comments by Donald Trump, which are again from his past, but quite sleazy in the way that he talked up his mate, Jeffrey Epstein. Now, this guy is facing very, very serious charges of sex trafficking conspiracy. And do you think, is Donald Trump going to be able to avoid being caught up in this?
Well, I don't think so, Matt, because one of his cabinet secretaries, Mr. Acosta, was the lead fellow in the plea bargain or the negotiations that got him, Epstein, an extremely light sentence in Florida. Epstein, just for those who aren't keeping up with this sort of thing, is one of the most sordid individuals you'll ever meet. Trump called him a good man and a fun man.
A terrific guy. Sorry, I'll read the comment. Yeah. He said this back in 2002. He made the comment, "I've known Jeff for 15 years. Terrific guy. He's a lot of fun to be with. It's even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side. Unfortunately, the younger side is 13 and 14 years of age."
Yeah, it's pretty sick, Matt. I'm getting a moral character reference from Donald Trump is probably not the best character reference you could have. But Epstein now is up on federal charges. Some of these women have come forward publicly. Their names are in the press. One girl said she was 13 at the time and had braces on her teeth. He allegedly procured them for his place in Mar-a-Lago, which, of course, is Trump's resort. And he used some of the girls to procure other girls. So it's pretty sordid. I mean, it doesn't get worse than this. And I think not just Bill Clinton, but Prince Andrew of the UK and Donald Trump and probably and Alan Dershowitz and many other high-level, high-profile people in America are going to be dragged into this.
Yeah, the Acosta line, Marion, is very interesting because it looks like Epstein got a soft 15-month sentence previously when he should have been in jail for multiple time of that, but he was able to use his vast wealth and access to power and influence to get a plea bargain.
The plea bargain that he got is just, to say it's bizarre, is an understatement. Alex Acosta signed off on a deal. Now, there was a 53-page indictment presented in Florida. And, you know, terrific work done by the local police chief, terrific work done by the police in this, by police officers and detectives who really went all out to bring this case and did only to find themselves blocked at every turn by the prosecution. Which is just astonishing by the U.S. Attorney's Office, I should say. So, you know, Alex Acosta, now the Labour Secretary, was handed a 53-page indictment. Epstein was charged on 8 different types of charges, but multiple charges in each of those 8 categories. He should have been really at that point been looking at the rest of his life in prison. He was given, as you said, a prison sentence, but also with this prison sentence, he served 13 months. He was allowed to leave prison every day, 6 days a week for 12 hours a day. So he was allowed to go to his office. I mean, you know, people don't even work. Most people don't even work 12 hours. And so he was given this ridiculously lenient sentence. And now it's moved to the Southern District of New York. It's a federal investigation. Part of that deal was that he would be, there were over 40 women who claimed that they were sexually assaulted by him when they were young girls. They were not even told about this deal. So Alex Acosta broke the law because in American law, you have to tell victims about any plea deal. It was kept secret from the victims and they were described as prostitutes, these 13, 14-year-old girls who were sexually assaulted. The whole thing is stomach-churning and I really hope that justice is done this time. I agree that people like Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, Alan Dershowitz, the Harvard lawyer who has become a Trump mouthpiece and defender in recent months, should all be very worried. Alan Dershowitz wrote to the Pulitzer Prize Committee to block Julie Brown, the Miami Herald journalist who did fantastic reporting on this, to recommend that she not receive a Pulitzer Prize. You know, a lot more is going to come out on this, I think, and none of it, it's going to be, I think, very, very upsetting and very distressing to see what went on.
Okay, let's move to something else entirely. Ross Perot, the man who Cal, of course, probably helped catapult Bill Clinton to power because running for the presidency in 1992 took votes away from George Bush, the incumbent, and let Clinton slip in. He died today, aged 89. Tell us about him, your memories of him, Cal.
Well, Matt, he got more votes than any third-party candidate in 80 years in the United States. It was pretty remarkable candidacy. He was strongly against NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Association Agreement. He called it a giant sucking sound, taking jobs out of America. Donald Trump picked up on that as he renegotiated trade deals with Mexico and Canada. He was a strange personality, a short man with a high-pitched voice. He was on television a lot, especially on the chat show with Larry King on CNN. But he had a lot of followers from people who were fed up by the establishment, by the high taxes and high spending of government. But, of course, very little of that has changed here, except for the lower taxes during the Trump administration. He was a unique personality. Third parties have traditionally not done well in America, but he did better, as I say, than any other in 80 years. So he was a consequential figure. Many Republicans blamed him for the election of Bill Clinton because he divided the vote among Republicans between George H.W. Bush and himself and Bill Clinton. And he has quite a legacy. He's also a big supporter of U.S. veterans and had a lot of fans within the veteran community.
Of course, Marion, he was yet another American billionaire who talked protectionism and keeping it all at home and yet invested substantially abroad. He would have owned the big computer firm EMC, which has major operations in Ireland for many years.
That's right. I mean, there does seem to be a real dichotomy here in talking the talk and walking the walk. You know, the current example of that, of course, is Ivanka Trump, who goes around the world, you know, allegedly advocating for women's rights, only and her work record of employing women, Chinese women, at terrible rates and in terrible conditions is well known. But, you know, I'm not picking on her. There are many, as you say, wealthy people, billionaires and businessmen who do precisely that. I guess Tom Steyer, who is the current billionaire, it seems that no election cycle is complete without a billionaire with no chance throwing their hat in the ring. Tom Steyer, who's a billionaire philanthropist and critic of Donald Trump, he's been on a hiding to nothing trying to have an impeach Trump campaign, has now announced that he's jumping into the race. So that might not help the Democratic contender, although let's wait and see how that plays out.
Just one other thing I want to finish up with. The American women's football team, of course, won the World Cup, beat the Netherlands in the final on Sunday. But Marion, what do you reckon the chances are that they will be honoured with an invitation to the White House? And if they get an invitation to the White House, will any of them turn up?
Well, I think at the moment, you know, there's an old saying in diplomatic circles. Clearly, Donald Trump doesn't hear many diplomatic circle sayings. Don't ask for what you won't get. And so I don't know if Donald Trump will invite them because he may not like a public refusal. These women they're just absolute heroes, you know, at the moment. I mean, what they did, winning was terrific. But also the way they have taken on at the same time the battle for fair, equal pay for women is absolutely heroic as well. You know, the American women's football team gets paid 38% of what the men get, even though the men's football team, soccer team here, hasn't reached a quarter final in the World Cup in I think it's about 90 years. So, you know, there's, I think now that the call for equal pay here will be irresistible, that the public is really behind them. Nancy Pelosi has now invited them to the to come to the House of Congress and to be feted there. Look, I think it's a shame that this has all become so political because it's obscuring their victory, which is absolutely terrific. And, you know, I hope that they do go to Capitol Hill. I hope they do receive the congratulations they deserve. And once again, you know, as I say, it's a shame that Donald Trump is behaving as he is. Although I do think in this case that even if he were to be incredibly gracious and invite them, I don't think they would go.
Yeah, and just to finish, Cal Thomas, maybe he'll be put off by the fact that if he saw Fox News over the weekend, they went to Lyon in France for the final and a crowd in a bar cheering the American team on, then started shouting an expletive as to what they'd like to do to Donald Trump. If he saw that, that's the end of the chances of the women team getting an invite.
Well, you know, Matt, everything's political now, and it's too bad. And, you know, some of the members of the women's team started all of this, and the tremendous scorer, Rapinoe, had critical things to say about Trump. And then during the victory celebration, someone threw the American flag down on the ground, and someone else stepped on it. So With respect to equal pay, I would just respond to Marion and say that all of this is driven by advertisers and ratings. One hopes the ratings will go up now for the women's team because, as Marion said, a men's team hasn't won in years, but it's driven by factors that have less to do with sexism and more to do with who's paying for what.
Thank you very much, Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown, for joining us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.